Okay, so as you can see from the top of the sheet, I entitled the Shi'ur HaMeureset, the Betrothed, which hopefully will become more obvious as we speak about the Shi'ur. Really, what I wanted to talk about is the end of the Torah, right? Moshe Rabbeinu finishes off the end of the Torah, really the Torah finishes off on a note of praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And it's a little bit strange. We'll read it in a second, but why are we ending off this book about the people of Israel, about the, you know, God's sort of gift to mankind to try to connect to God? I mean, that's really what the Torah is about. It's about getting people to fulfill creation and ultimately to connect to God. And we don't really see that in this conclusion. It's really just a great praise of Moshe, who is the transmitter. So the question is, why is that? Right. So now if we read the words, which is the finale of the Torah, which we'll read Bezrat Hashem on the Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe asher yida'o Hashem panim el panim. L'chol ha'otot v'amoftim asher shalacho Hashem la'asot b'eretz Mitzrayim nefaro l'chol avadav l'chol arzo ולכל היד החזקה ולכל המורה הגדול אשר עשה משה לעיני כל ישראל. So, a quick translation. There was never a prophet that arose like Moshe that did all the great things that he did, and that he did those things with a mighty hand in the eyes of all of Israel. Right? That's the end of the Torah. So again, I reiterate the question, why is this book, a general book, going to lengths and praising the transmitter at the very end? What does that have to do with anything? Now, before we answer that question, let's try to understand really these verses. I mean, what are these praises of Moshe? So the Sifri explains as follows. It says, ulechol ha'otot u'moftim asher shalacho Hashem la'asot be'eretz Mitzrayim u'paro lechol avadav u'lecho arzo. It quotes the pasuk that we just read, and I wrote here in parentheses that now what the Midrash is going to explain is that it's talking about the process of the redemption. It says, "L'mitzrayim b'fnei atzma, l'paro b'fnei atzmo, u'lavadav b'fnei atzmam." So we saw that it talked about Mitzrayim, Paro, and his servants. So the pasuk is specifying these three characters, but then it's going on to talk about the process of geula, of redemption that Moshe effected. It says, ulechol hayad hachazaka. What do those words refer to? Zu makat bechorot. That refers to the plague on the firstborn. Ulechol hamora gadol. What is this, all this great, wondrous event that Moshe did? Zo kriyat yam suf. That's the splitting of the Red Sea. Rabbi Elazar omer, talicha geula lomdim mi milim ulechol ha'otot v'amoftim. So Rabbi Elazar agrees and disagrees. He agrees that they were talking about the talicha geula, but you can learn those really from the specific words that God, that Moshe did all these signs and wonders. So now Rabbi Elazar is going to want to explain, so what are all these other little things like Yad HaChazaka and so forth? So now he says, Uminayin af nisim lifnei har Sinai. So where do we learn that also the miracles that Moshe did at Har Sinai or before Har Sinai from Kriyat Yam Suf to there? So Rashi says, this is Kabbalat HaTorah, Talmud Lomar ulechol hayad hachazaka. So from the words yad hachazaka, that really refers to the events at Sinai. Uminayin af nisim b'midbar, and what about all the great things that Moshe did from Sinai through the 40 years in the desert? Talmud Lomar ulechol hamorah gadol. So all this great wonder that Moshe did, or awesome greatness, that refers to all the miracles that were done throughout the 40 years in the desert. Uminayin af b'shibur haluchot. So now he asks, but what about the actual breaking of the tablets? That was also a great thing that needs to be specified. So he says, Ne'emar lahalan. We read that before. V'ashabrem le'enechem. Moshe had told the Jewish people that he broke the tablets in their very eyes. V'kan hu omer asher asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. So these last words of le'enei kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all of Israel, that refers to Moshe breaking the tablets. That's really strange, right? It's strange on a number of reasons. I mean, on a number of levels. I mean, one is that we're making this gezeirah shavah, we're making this comparison eye-eye. I mean, eyes appears lots of times. Why specifically these? But even more acute of the question is really, why are we giving the breaking of the tablets this specification? Like, you know, we understand the great wonders he did at Sinai and the great wonders that he did in the desert. But here we're pointing out that the very last thing, the greatest act that Moshe did was the breaking of the Luchot. Okay? So now... Right, so we're going to get to that. Okay, so now the Torah Tamima, he asked this question. If you look in the underlined parts of the Torah Tamima, so he says, Uma denirelo lerebi Elazar lidrosh halashon la'enei kol Yisrael b'inyan kazev lo b'pshitut demusav al lamala l'chol ha'otot v'amoftim l'chol ha'yad ha'chazacha v'chule. He says, wait a minute, this is really a very strange interpretation that you're giving this one act to these words. I would have thought that these words, La'enei Kol Yisrael, refers to all the other things he did. He got the Torah before everybody, he did the miracles before everything. All the stuff that we just said is now being explained as being in front of all of Israel. So why do you need to like explain to me, La'enei Yisrael refers to one event? Okay, so now the Torah to me will explain. Yesh lomar mishum de kevan de kol hemshech lashon hapasuk ba bediyuk lahodia migadlut Moshe neged shar neviim. So he says this, all these verses that we're talking about, as we started by saying lo kam navi od be Yisrael kam Moshe. So all of what we're talking about is trying to emphasize how is Moshe different and greater than all the other neviim. Okay, lachen bechol prat shechashav bazeh mitbaer leinyan gedulat gedula yeterah. So he says that, so each one of these things is coming to explain why Moshe was greater. And so he explains that you don't need to say that those things were in the eyes of Israel for them to be greater. Now he goes on and he explains the fact that Moshe did these wonders in front of Paro, who also knew how to do all kinds of tricks, and also he did them in front of all of the Mitzrim, not necessarily in front of all the Jews. They also were Hartumim and magicians and were used to all kinds of tricks. So the fact that he was able to pull all of this off in front of them is already Moshe's greatness above all other Nevi'im. So you don't need to say that it was in front of the Jews. That doesn't make Moshe any greater. And that's why you need to explain in the eyes of all of Israel as something specific. So if you look at the underlined part, the last part of the Torah Tamima, Ve'im kein, eino mitba'er, ma shechashav bein yeter pirtei ha'gdula la'enei kol Yisrael. So what was that about? Ma ma'ala yetera yesh bezeh. What great thing can we learn that Moshe did something in front of all of Israel? Ki halo kol ma she'asa hayu ma'asim gedolim, lu gam lo asa'am la'enei Yisrael. So that's what I explained already, we're trying to find something that Moshe did that would make him great, that he did it in the eyes of all of Israel. V'lachen, darish debelashon ze be'emet mirumaz gedula mitsuyenet. And so these words of in the eyes of all of Israel really do point out to something specific. V'hainu shvirat haluchot sheshavar midat atzmo. And that specific thing that he did in all of Israel that no other prophet did was that he broke the tablets, and now he says midat atzmo. He broke the tablets on his own accord. Because for that he would have to have some kind of greater spiritual understanding. Okay? So now what we're saying here is something really amazing. We're saying that Moshe's greatness is breaking the Luchot, which is already something very strange. I mean, he's done so many things that, the receiving of the Torah, you would think is great. But no, the greatest thing that he did is that he broke the Luchot. And what was so great about that? He did it al dat atzmo. He did it on his own. But wait a minute. Isn't the whole Torah supposed to get us to do what God wants us to do? Right? There's 613 laws. And we are sitting here killing ourselves trying to fit in to do all these 613. And now you tell me the greatest thing you can do what you think is right. What is going on? How do we explain that? Okay. So that's a big question. Now, if you thought that that's just the Midrash or that's just the Torah Tamima or something, Rashi says that's pshat. The whole business. Look what Rashi says. La'enei kol Yisrael, shenasa'o libo, that he lifted up his heart, which is another way of saying he did it on his own accord, right? Lishbor haluchot la'eneihem, that he broke the tablets in their very eyes, right? Shenemar v'ashabrem la'eneihem. Okay, v'hiskimu data kadosh baruch hu ledato sheneemar asher shibarta yeshar kochacha sheshibarta. And so God, after the fact, said, good job. Right? So, good job that you broke the tablets and that you broke them on your own accord. That's really weird. Right. So, okay, so all of those together we have to try to understand. Okay, so now, basically, to understand that, we need to go back to the scene of the crime. And that's the wording of what actually happened in Parshat Ki Tisa. So, in Shmot Perek Lamed Bet, it says, "Vaydeber Hashem el Moshe, lech red ki shichet amecha asher heleit ameretz Mitzrayim. Go down and see how your people have corrupted themselves. Saru maher mina derech asher tzivitim asu lahem egel masecha. And so they have gone off the path that they were supposed to be on, that they have been commanded, and they went and made themselves an idol. Okay, I mean, like in no time they've blown it. Now, if we skip to pasuk yud, v'ata." Okay, so God says, let me alone and let me just kill everybody because they're just gone. I have nothing to do with these people, right? So now Moshe prays, God says, I'll make you a great nation, he says to Moshe. Moshe, where the three dots are, is Moshe prays, and he gets clemency for the people. And then in Tet Vav, it says, Vayifen vayered Moshe minahar, ushnei luchot ha'edut biyado. And so now Moshe has the tablets in his hands. Valuchot ma'ase Elohim hema va'michtav michtav Elohim hu charut al haluchot. And so now we see that what Moshe had in his hands were the holiest things that could possibly be. They're completely divine. Divine tablets, divine writing. Moshe has not yet accepted what God said. God said, I'm done with the people. These people are not interested in me. They couldn't even do the one commandment, don't make idols. They couldn't even stand with that. And so they're not interested in me. I'm not interested in them. Let's just forget about it. Moshe still is going to wait till he can see with his own eyes. He goes down holding the holy tablets. And then in Yud Tet it says, "Vahi kasher karav el hamachane vayaret ha'egel u'mecholot vayichar af Moshe vayashlech miyadav et haluchot vayishaber otam tachat ahar." And so Moshe finally sees that what God said is true. The people are dancing and worshiping the calf, and so he throws it and breaks the tablets. Okay, so now what really happened? What did he accomplish by breaking these tablets, right? This is a great question that many places, many commentators try to deal with. I bring you probably the most famous answers in Shmot Rabbah. So in the underlined part of Shmot Rabbah, it gives us a mashal. It's a well-known mashal, which I'm giving you things that I know these sources. When we flip the page, it'll start getting a little more interesting. Okay. Ra'a Moshe shechatu v'shavar et haluchot, mashal l'sar shenatal isha v'katav la ktuba v'natna b'yad ha'shoshvin. La'achar yamim yatsa alea shem ra. Ma'asa ha'shoshvin kara et ha'ktuba. So now, just a quick translation. There's an example. We can see sort of a metaphor of what Moshe did by breaking the tablets can be likened to a prince who was contracted to marry this woman. He gave the ketubah, the contract, to his best man. The best man found out that the woman to be, the bride to be, was unfaithful. So the best man tore up the contract, right? The ketubah. So now it goes on, Karat Ketuba Amar Mutav Shetehe Nidonit Kipnuya Velo Keeshet Ish. Kach Asa Moshe. So the metaphor in the story, so the best man tears up the wedding contract in order that the prince, who's the husband to be, will not judge the woman as if they were already married, but rather as somebody who was just unfaithful when she was anyway single, and so even though they were thinking about getting married, it's not as terrible a thing. Okay, so this is exactly what Moshe did. Amar, im ein ani mishaber et haluchot, ein li Yisrael amida shene'emar, zovech le'elohim yachoram. Ma asa shavram, amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo hayu yodin ma hayu katuv bahen. So basically what happened, Moshe did the same thing as the best man. He broke the tablets where the best man tore up the contract, and so basically, he could go to God and say, the people never knew about this rule that's written in the Torah that says that if you idol worship, so you are basically excommunicated. And so that's what Moshe ends by saying. They knew not what they were doing. Okay? And so this way, Moshe could kind of get some kind of clemency for them because they weren't contracted officially to hold by the rules of the ketubah of the wedding contract.
So it wasn't, exactly.
if it wasn't exactly written and signed yet. Now,
was it worth the tablets it was carved?
Exactly. So that's what he's saying. So even though there was Mamad Har Sinai, so he's saying it. You know, we're Jews. It has to be written and signed, and so it wasn't written in stone yet. Okay. So all right. But what's important here is not these little halachic technical details, but rather the sort of the spirit of the idea. We're trying to understand something here, and really, just to remind you, we're trying to understand why it's so great that Moshe broke the tablets. That's the ending. That's the finale of the Torah and his greatest act. Now, from this mashal, from this metaphor, we see that there's an idea of God and the people getting married, and the Torah is the wedding contract. Moshe tears up the wedding contract in order to effect...
He tore up the
luchot are parallel to the ketubah, the wedding contract, and he broke the wedding contract, he broke the luchot. In general, I mean, we can say it's like the Torah that was binding between God and the people.
It seems like this day is that the luchot, especially luchot rishonot, I remember that might have had the whole Torah on them.
Right.
That's not part of a Aseret Dibrot. That's in the Torah.
Right. That's correct.
It's not a.
That's correct. I mean, in general, the idea is the Torah, that the entire Torah that's binding on the people. But and the luchot are representative of that full contract. But okay. But what I want
that there was written on them.
Right. I understand. Okay. So, but in any case, what I'm saying here is that this is interesting, but there's something much deeper about how and why Moshe broke the tablets and why they're the most. This is his greatest act. So, if you turn over the page to side two, so there's an amazing Gemara that says as follows: Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Tet Amud Bet. Tana Rebbe Chia, Kol Haosek BaTorah Lifnei Am Haaretz Kiilu Boel Arusato Befanav. Anybody who learns Torah in front of a unwise person, not just an unwise person, but an Am Ha'aretz is somebody who's like not interested in Torah. They want to have anything to do with Torah. Okay? The Gemara gives an example. Rabbi Akiva said, when I was an Am Ha'aretz, before I learned Torah, so I would have bit a Talmid Hacham like a donkey. And they say, why did he use donkey? Or they ask, it says, why donkey and not dog? You would have bit him like a dog. No, a dog just bites. A donkey bites and breaks bones. Okay, I mean, that's how much the Am Ha'aretz does not want to have anything to do with the Talmid Chacham. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who's antagonistic to Torah. I don't want to know anything about this, okay? So now, the mashal, the example here is being given, is that anybody who learns Torah in front of an Am Ha'aretz, somebody who's not interested in Torah, it's as if he slept with his fiancé in front of him. Okay? What does that have to do with anything, and why are you using such blatant and really, you know, they say gas, right? I mean, so sort of crude terminology. So it says, they bring the pasuk in Dvarim, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kehilat Yaakov, al tikri morasha ela meurasa, right? Okay, so there's a verse in the Torah that says, the Torah itself, or that Moshe commanded us, is an inheritance for all of the community of Jacob. Don't read it, says the Gemara, an inheritance. Read it a betrothal. Okay? Read it that the Torah is really like your fiancé, not that it's your inheritance. Now, so first of all, let's understand this switch from inheritance and fiancé, and then we'll try to understand why they're using this thing about sleeping with the guy's fiancé. Okay, so now I made these little dots here. If you saw this parallel, you see where it says Chatan Kala Elokim Yisrael. That's what we read in the Midrash Rabbah on the other side of the page, right? We had God and the Jewish people was the Chatan and the Kala, and the Torah is the Ketubah. Now we've switched that. Now you have Chatan Kala is Yisrael and Torah, right? The Torah is the fiance, is the Murasa, right? Torah is morasha ki la Yaakov, al tikra morasha ela mu'urasa. So now, it seems that there's been a shift in the parallels. Now, Israel is the chatan, and the Torah is the fiancé, but it's really not. Okay, it's all the same idea. God is the chatan, and we are the Israel is the fiancé, and the Torah is, the thing is that the Torah is not just the ketubah. Okay, the Torah is God himself. It's how we connect to God. It's not just a contract. It's the vehicle for the connection, right? The Zohar says, Ein Torah ela kucha brichu. Okay? So the way that we consummate the relationship with God is through the Torah. And that's what Rabbi Chiya is emphasizing here. It's the Torah is not just this little side contract that we signed on. It's the way we connect to God himself. Okay? Because the Torah is God in a sense. Okay? So now the more...
They always call Rahmana. Right. Rahmana is Rahman, that's Hashem.
Yeah.
But then everybody always... seems to translate it, and they say...
Rahmana is the Torah, right? Which is really, it's God is the Torah. It's really, like the Torah says, it's the same idea. So now the Maharsha basically says what I just said. Look what the Maharsha says. Ki ilu bo'el u'sata sh'ne'emar Torah v'chulei, hotziu milat morasha milashon yirusha, al pi ma shekatuv she'eina yirusha lecha, v'hi munachat bekeren zavit, kol mi she'rotze litol yitol. So the Maharsha explains like this. He says, the reason that the Gemara changed the words from morasha, inheritance, to me'urasa, fiancé, is because we know that the Torah is not just simply an inheritance. You don't just get it, okay? Rather, it's like sitting in a corner, it's sitting like in a place where you have to go and take it yourself. It says here, she'rotze litol yitol. Okay? It's not just given to you. You have to go and get it. Okay? So that's different. It's not just an inheritance. It's like a woman that you have to go out and get. Va'al kein, darshuhu milashon me'urasa, ki ha'torah nimshala le'isha, bekama mekomot, ubitchilat netinata li'Yisrael, harei hi ke'arusa, ad achar she'yilmeda ve'shenaset lo ke'isha. So the Torah is something in potential. It's sitting there, and until you learn it, it's not your wife. It's like your fiancé. You have to make it yours. You go out, you take it, and you learn it, and now you make it part of you. Okay, that's not an inheritance. That's a fiancé. Ve'im kein, am ha'aretz she'einenu lomed harehi nish'eret lo ke'arusato v'talmid hacham osek ba befana v'chulei v'kal la'avin. So basically what he says is like this. He says, you can't understand it as a Yerusha. You have to understand it as a fiancé. And as a fiancé, so that means you've got to go out and do something for it. It's not just going to come to you. You have to put in effort. And when you put in that effort, so then you move this thing from being in potential to being in actual. It's from a fiancé to a wife. It's from the Torah to now being part of you. This is how you connect to God. Okay, and so what the Maharsha has explained to us now is this whole idea of changing from Yerusha to Me'urasa, from inheritance to a fiancé. Now we understand that kind of metaphor, but we still don't understand the business about sleeping with her. I mean, you know, like, why am I sleeping with the, what does that mean I'm sleeping with the Am Ha'aretz's fiancé? Like, why do I have to go there? So the Me'iri gives us a little hint to the understanding, and he says as follows. Ha'osek b'Torah b'fnei am ha'aretz, kilu bo'el arusato b'fanav klomar, she'af hi haita re'uya lo, she'nemar morasha kilat Yaakov, rotze lemar ha'hamon, is the kilat Yaakov, al tikri morasha ela me'urasa, klomar she'hi arusa shel am ha'aretz, gamken ela shelo nichnesa imo lechupa. What happens here is like this. The Torah is one book, but we all have our way to it, and we all have our understandings of it, and it's an amazing thing. The most amazing thing about the Torah is that it accommodates each reader, and we all get something out of it personally. We all have our personal connection with God that is different one from the other. Okay? And when we sit and learn Torah, we develop that relationship. And when we see new things that make sense to us, of course, within the framework of Torah understanding, we connect to God in our way. So now, The when we learn Torah in front of an Amma Aretz, he had some kind of potential reading. He had some kind of potential way to connect to God. When we learned it in front of him, he wasn't really interested. And so he was tuned out. And everything we said to him, he said to himself, that's idiotic, that's stupid, that doesn't make sense, I don't buy it. And so now we have destroyed this whole section and this whole opportunity. We've destroyed it for him. It's as if we slept with his arusa. We have now taken, the potential relationship that he had with God through this Torah, and we have now made it ours and eliminated it for him. Okay? And that's what it means, bo'el arusato befanav. You have destroyed the potential relationship that this guy could have. Okay? So now...
Why have you destroyed it? If you're learning yourself...
So when we learn together, so now you guys are interested, and so now we're all interested, and so now we're all like learning together, and we're all connecting together, and we're all developing a relationship together. It's true that you're getting, say, my reading on this, but you're also connecting, and so we're all connecting together through this. But if somebody's completely antagonistic, so now you've destroyed it for him. You've taken that away from him. That's the way I see it anyway.
It would be better that he wouldn't be exposed at all.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the question. Okay. So now that's the question. What do you do with somebody like that? How do you bring in Rabbi Akiva when he's an Amma Aretz? Okay? So first of all, that's what my three points are here. So if you take a look, the first point is, Kol Echad Yesh Kesher Ishi V'Gisha Yehudi. That's right? So that I explained, that the idea of the Arusa is that every person has their connection and their approach to the Torah, that within the framework of Torah understanding and learning, we all connect to God in our own way. Okay? And the greatness, the Gedulat Shvirat HaLuchot Hatzalat HaMeurasa. Okay? Or HaMeureset. What I want to say, that the greatness of Moshe breaking the Luchot, okay, is that he basically saved the fiancé of the Jewish people, right? All the people were totally not interested, right? We read, God said, these people are not interested in me, I'm killing them all, I'll start over with you, Moshe, right? So what that means is that all the people were on the level of this of the Am HaAretz. And so now if Moshe came down and said, here's this Torah that God said, it's not only that it makes it binding halachically, he's teaching them Torah, and they're not interested. So he's like, bo'el et arusa befanav. He's basically removed the opportunity for the connection. That's what I want to say is the greatness of Moshe's breaking the tablets, is that now he has still left the relationship in potential. These people can still connect to God. If he shows them the Torah, it's ruined. They'll say, that's idiotic! What?
Well, because right at that moment... The Torah for them is something that's coming and accusing them of being at the worst possible.
Right, they're exactly. Anything he says to them, they're not going to be interested in. So now, with him breaking the tablets, right? By him breaking the tablets, he's basically saving the relationship in potential. We'll do it at another time. So the question is, how? How are we going to do this at another time? How are you going to teach them arts? How are you going to teach anybody? Okay? So what I want to say is this third point, Lefateach Kesher Bein Netina LeKabbalah. Okay? So you had mentioned that before, that there's a difference between the first tablets and the second tablets, right? That the first tablets, like we said, are completely divine. And so that is this idea of God coming and saying, here, look at what I have to offer you. And that doesn't work. Okay? You can't just come up to Amma Aretz and say, look at this Torah, it's amazing. I'm not interested. Okay, so what do you have to do? There's the difference between giving and taking. So if you look at the what we read actually today on Shabbat Chol HaMoed, so we read in the second tablets, it says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Psol Lecha Shnei Luchot. You make the tablets. Okay, this time they're not the tablets that God made, they're the tablets that man made. Okay, now the Emek HaDavar goes to town on this, and he explains, Katava Ibn Ezra, B'Shem Gaon Zal, Deluchot Shniot Mechubadim Min HaRishonim, that in fact, the second tablets that are made by man are actually greater than the first tablets that were made by God. Why? V'Kavana B'Kol Zeh, Deluchot HaRishonot, Lo Nitan Koach HaChidush, because in the first tablets, everything was set in stone. There is no possibility for man to make any novel interpretation, for man to see anything in this. Ella, Masha Kibel Moshe, Diuke, Hamikraot, Vahalachot, Vahayotse Mize, Avalo Lechadesh Devar Halacha. Umize Hatam Atzmo, Tziva Kadosh Brachoshia, Luchot Ashniim, De Pisul Yede Moshe, Lomishum Shelo Zachu, Lamaase Elohim. Ella, Lahorot, De Halacha, Hamit Hadeshet, Bekoch, Luchot, Halalu, He Hishtatfut. Amal Adam Besiyata Deshmaya. So he says the greatness of the second tablets is that they allow man to be in partnership with God, right? With Besiyata Deshmaya, meaning, of course, you can't just say or anything you want. It's with the help of heaven that you are Amal B'Torah. You learn Torah, you work, and you try to see how does this connect you to God. And with the help of heaven, you connect to God. Your Torah learning brings out new and novel interpretations, which are within the framework of Torah understanding, B'Siyata D'Shmaya, with the help of heaven. And so really, that's what the Torah is all about. The Torah is all about, like I said, connecting to God. Rabbi Eliezer Berkovitz says it in his book, God, Man, and History. Everything in the Bible is communication between God and man. Everything is relationship. The whole book is about connecting to God. Like the Zohar said, the God and man, God and the book are one and united. But you have to realize that it's active. It has to come from man. You can't just come and tell people this Torah is great and we are the Torah people and so do Torah. It's not going to work. Right? And so now, if you look in Eicha Rabbah, the Midrash says, V'hayta bat kol machrezet v'omeret shuvu banim shovevim. There's a heavenly voice, as it were, that goes out every day and says, come back to me, my wayward children. Okay? Shuvu elai v'ashuva aleichem. Come, return to me, and I will return to you. The people have to do it first. God sends out this heavenly voice, okay? But he can't do anything more than that. There's like some kind of ethereal, spiritual calling that man has to be attuned to. But at the end of the day, man has to start. Man has to say, you know what, I will go to a shiur. You know what, I will open a book. You know what, I will try to understand something in this Torah. If man doesn't initiate it, other than being attuned to the call, God can't do anything. First, man has to come to God, and then God will come to man. But then, once man does do that, God assures him. Look what it says in Tehillim. Sod Hashem li'reyav u'brito lehodi'am. God has made a covenant, as it were, with us that he will reveal his secrets to us. Okay? He will do that if we put in the effort. Okay, that's what the Gemara in Masechet Megillah says. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, im yomar lecha adam yagata, yagati velo matzati al tamin, lo yagati umatzati al tamin, yagati umatzati ta'amin. If somebody says to you, I put in effort and I found what I was looking for, believe me. You can believe him. Any of the other combinations don't work. Hani mili bedivrei Torah. This is an expression which is abused in modern parlance, that everybody says, oh, you put an effort and you found it, we believe you. It doesn't apply to business or relationships or anything else. It applies to learning Torah. If you put in the effort to learn Torah, you will get out the understanding. You will get out the relationship. This is a guarantee by God that if we come to him, he will come to us, and we develop the relationship through Torah. That doesn't have to do with business. It says here, kamo etzem, no, it says here at the end, aval mas b'masau matan, siyata hu min hashamayim. Right? In business, it's all with the help of heaven. Meaning, like, if you made a lot of money, so, okay, don't take so much credit that you invested and you were did all the effort. God gave you the money, you know, and, okay, a little humility, okay? Right, and vice versa, lo aleinu. But in any case, the thing is that in all these other things outside of Torah learning, it doesn't apply, I put in effort, I succeeded. But in Torah learning, God guarantees us, you put in the effort, you will get out the reward. You come to me, I will come to you. I have my contracted promise. It's a brit that I will reveal my secrets to you. But it's all about investment. It's about the fiance. It's about murasava, not murasha. It's not an inheritance. It's an inheritance in a greater aspect that the Jewish people get this handed down. But if you don't put in the effort, you are, as an individual, not going to be able to get it. Okay? And so that basically answers the questions that I asked about the breaking of the tablets. Okay, the breaking of the tablets is really the greatest act that Moshe did because he saved the relationship with the people. They weren't ready for a relationship with God through the Torah. And if he had revealed it to them, so they would have mocked it and they would have never been open to it. Okay, just as much as an Am Ha'aretz who's not interested, they'll just mock it and they're not interested. They need to come to you. So you need to figure out a way to open the conversation. You need to find a way to like show interesting ideas and experiential, right? Try to reveal to them the bat kol. But you can't be mitasek b'Torah. Now we're going to start going into halachic diunim and we're going to start going into all kinds of stuff. That's not the way that you're going to be able to bring people in, right? That people have to come to and put in effort and then they'll develop their relationship. And so Moshe's great act was in saving this relationship for them. But then, and that's why, again, that the whole story ends, the whole Torah ends, the Torah, which is all about relationship, as Rabbi Berkowitz says that the whole Torah is about developing a relationship with God. So this breaking of the Luchot is really the story of the relationship with God, right? But the only question I didn't answer is Moshe is praised for doing it al dat atzmo. He did, nasa libo, says Rashi. He went outside of the framework, as it were. He went and said, I'm breaking these tablets, even though it doesn't say anywhere in the book to break the tablets. And God didn't tell me.
Think that it was the holiest thing in the world.
Exactly. So if you take a look here, that the Gemara in Shabbat says as follows. Shlosha dvarim asa Moshe midato v'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Three things Moses did on his own and God agreed. Hosif yom echad midato. Moshe added one day before we got the Torah. He wanted to get people prepared. He added a day on his own and God said, good idea. Upiresh min ha'isha. And he stopped being with his wife in order that he could be available for God at any second, and God agreed. V'shavar et aluchot, and he broke the tablets. Shavar et aluchot, minalan dehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yado, shenemar asher shibarta, amar Reish Lakish, yasher kochcha sheshibarta. And the third thing is that he broke the tablets, and God said, good thing you did that, right? So now, again, why is Moshe's individual idea praiseworthy here to the point that the whole Torah ends with this story? It ends with the greatness of Moshe breaking the tablets that he did on his own. So what I would like to offer is that the Torah is about building a relationship with God, and the ultimate achievement of that relationship is that you can already intuit God's will. And sometimes it's not written, it's not said, you've come into a whole new circumstance, but you are so immersed in Torah, you are so connected to God, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, that you can intuit what it is that God's will is. That at the end of the day, God says, right, you did the right thing. Right? So that's basically what I would like to offer is the whole purpose of the Torah, again, is to connect to God, to develop the relationship, and ultimately to end like Moshe did, right? La'enei kol Yisrael, that he's able to do something al dat atzmo, which is really 100% in tune with God, that God puts the stamp of approval on it and says, Yasher kochacha, we should all be zoche to learn the Torah and to reach the levels that Moshe Rabbeinu did, that God could put a stamp on our lives, Yasher kochacha.
Yeah.